The 1924 edition of Today's Etiquette that I just happened to have on my living room bookshelf says this about the modern hostess. The successful hostess is not she who can display the richest silver, but she who knows how to make her guests feel comfortable and happy. Not she who can serve the most elaborate and unusual courses, but she who can hold the most interesting conversations and draw people into the most pleasant discussions. Not she who is vain of her belongings, conscious of her fine tapestries and faultless service, but she who is cheerful, serene, kindly, thoughtful in little things, calm and poised in important things. She welcomes each guest cordially and with the strictest impartiality. She leads the conversation, but does not monopolize it. The guide goes on to say that more important than anything else in planning a dinner party is the selection of guests. No matter how attractive the table, how interesting the entertainment arranged for the evening, how faultless the menu and the service, if the guests are constrained and uneasy in one another's company, if they have nothing in common and find no interest in each other's conversation, the dinner cannot be a complete success. It would seem that a great deal of responsibility falls on the host or hostess of a dinner party. The rules of such a social occasion persist across cultures and through time, ensuring that status is maintained, niceties respected, and reciprocation encouraged or even enforced. For guests, the social maneuvers involved in accepting an invitation or in attending a party are equally complex and demanding. Anthropologists make entire careers out of describing processes for gift exchange in a culture. The ability to answer an invitation with a like invitation or a gift with an equivalent gift marks guest and host as equals, and the balance of gifts and invitations maintain a cultural stasis in which each member knows his or her place. The rules are so ingrained in people groups and people so accustomed to jockeying for status using them that Jesus uses the rules of dinner parties to make a point in today's gospel. Take the lowest place, Jesus instructs his fellow guests, quoting the Proverbs, because then your host will show you honor by asking you to sit in a better seat. While studying this text with various groups this week, the question that came up the most was, isn't Jesus just teaching his audience to play the social game? Isn't he just sort of advancing a fake it till you make it kind of humility? But two parts of the dinner party, as Luke reports it, refute this view and show that Jesus is making a point larger than one particular event and larger even than one particular social pecking order. Take the lowest place. Jesus' instruction to the dinner guests is the first clue as to what's really happening in the story. Jesus did not say, take a place or two lower than what you know you deserve, which would be a much more strategic move. A guest operating by that rule would still sit near friends, and the loss of status if the host did not correct the guest's choice of seat would be minimal. Take the lowest place on purpose, on the other hand, is a piece of advice that makes a statement that the guest isn't even sure he belongs at this dinner party. The second clue that our Lord is not simply writing the Miss Manners of Jerusalem column comes from the next story Jesus tells just after today's gospel. A king threw a banquet, Jesus says, and the people who were invited made excuses, and really pretty flimsy ones, not to come. So the king's servants went out to the streets of the city and brought back the blind, the poor, and the other outcasts and began to fill the banquet hall with them instead. When the servants reported that there was still room at the party, the king ordered them out onto the highways around the city to bring in any strangers who happened by to celebrate with him. Bring in the blind, the poor, the lame, and the strangers, the king said. If the list sounds familiar, it's because this is the same list of people Jesus tells us to invite to our dinner parties at the end of today's gospel. Jesus reminds us that our human relationships are to be modeled on our relationship with God, and that turns our whole social order on its head. Take the lowest place, because honor is not to be claimed by us for ourselves, but granted by a host more important than us. Celebrate with those who can't return our gifts or invitations, because what can we hope to offer God in exchange for his grace freely given to us? In my senior year of high school, on the way to a rehearsal for A Midsummer Night's Dream, I drove my sister and Claudia, another of our fellow actors, to a rehearsal one evening. My part of the play was not being rehearsed that day, so I had planned to sit with a book outside the rehearsal space and read for a while. But then Claudia said, "I bought tickets to a concert a long time ago, but since I'll be in rehearsal, I can't use them. Would you like to go and see the Canadian Brass while we're in rehearsal?" I jumped at the chance to take the tickets. As a trumpet player, they were one of my favorite groups at the time, and Claudia even had a pass to get me into the after party at a nearby hotel. But I sat nervously in the concert hall the whole time. I hadn't known about the concert ahead of time. I hadn't been offered the tickets before we were in the car, and so I was dressed in jeans and a ratty old t-shirt among the suits and dresses the rest of the audience wore. So I clutched my ticket tight in my hand during the whole performance, convinced that someone would suddenly notice that I didn't really look as if I belonged there. They might ask me to leave. That stub in my hand was proof that even though I didn't look the part at the time, I had been invited to this show. Take the roof off the Pharisees' dinner party and look at it from a God's eye view, where the people in the room see only a human event and the opportunity to advance their own claims of influence and power. We may see all of creation as a celebration with God as its host, and each of us holding an invitation we cannot earn or buy. From such a perspective, all our elbowing and jockeying toward the head of the table earns us nothing. How do we approach our host if this is the case, if none of us on our own belong at this party? How do we treat our fellow guests at the table? These are the questions Jesus challenges his dinner companions to ask themselves, and we who overhear their conversation can do the same. An important marker of our humility before God is letting go of the pretense that we have it all together, or that we can arbitrate and decide and rank our fellow believers. Those great theologians Calvin and Hobbes present our usual way of looking at the great dinner party that is God's world. Calvin sits behind a cardboard box labeled, "A swift kick in the butt, $1. "How's business?" Hobbes asks. "Terrible," Calvin replies. "That's hard to believe." "I can't understand it," Calvin exclaims. "Everyone I know needs what I'm selling." Our liturgy, in contrast to the comic and in contrast to our guest lists, sets us up well to see that we are, in fact, all the blind, the lame, the outcast, and the lost. The church is no place for pretending, no place for ignoring our own failings. Read the worship service, pray along with it, participate today, and you'll see the service sets us up to see God's majesty, his power, and his perfection, and sets us up as mere supplicants, people who are here on his invitation. Here is the meal, here is the host, and for reasons known only to God, here are the guests. Amen.